taxman's taken all my dough and left me in my stately home, blazing on a sunny afternoon, and I can't sail my yacht.
407, Raj Taylor and Derek accompanying you home this afternoon, but with breaking news. In from the WKZO.com newsroom, John McNeil.
The county sheriff's department has just cleared the scene of a really bad accident in Richland Township. It's a very unusual one, too, Roger. They had to shut down 32 32nd Street in Richland for a while, right in front of the township fire department.
Oh, good.
After a head-on collision. Apparently, a man in a Dodge Pacifica, I believe it's a Dodge or it's a Chrysler.
Chrysler Pacifica. It's a SUV crossover vehicle.
He had a minor fender bender and left the scene of that crash. It was seen traveling down the wrong side of 32nd Street for some distance. A number of cars had to go into the ditch to avoid hitting him. One driver turned around and finally got him to pull over. Looked in the vehicle and saw that he was all glassy-eyed and out of it, and he took off again, the driver in the Pacifica. And finally, it all ended when he had a head-on collision right in front of the township fire station with somebody in a Challenger, and he was thrown from the vehicle and killed at the scene. The other driver's in serious condition at Borges Hospital. They're investigating. They don't know whether it was a medical problem or a drug problem or whether he suffered a head injury in that first fender bender and that caused him to, you know, lose it.
Yeah, yeah.
But apparently it was a pretty bad scene all.
Yeah,
all
yeah. And he ended up dying in the accident.
Huh? Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Well, details will be forthcoming as the afternoon goes on. Thanks for a heads up. Traffic is cleared.
Traffic is cleared. It's back to normal out there now.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
590 WKZO time is 4:09, and joining us now from Orlando, I believe, is CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss. Bob, how you doing?
Hi there. Fine. I'm in Washington.
Oh, okay. Okay. I thought you were in Orlando, but... all told, I guess I'd rather be in Orlando, but let's talk about the cuts to the SNAP program that went into effect last night at midnight.
Okay, yeah, SNAP is food stamps, and basically what happened here was that during the recession back in 2009, you know, Congress passed a whole series of bills designed to stimulate the economy and to get more money flowing, mm-hmm. and one of them was to increase the amount of food stamp aid to people because there were more people having trouble because of the recession. And that was due to expire today, and it did, because Congress didn't act to extend it. And, in fact, the debate in Congress right now is over House Republicans who want to actually cut far more from food stamps.
And how is the food that those food stamps were purchasing going to be made up out there? I know just in Kalamazoo County, where we're located, there was a $4 million cut that happened last night at midnight.
Right. I mean, you know, in terms of individual people, it obviously varies depending on their circumstances. In general, a family of four on food stamps would be losing about $35 a month, which doesn't sound like a lot, but if you're on food stamps, it's a lot. I would expect that what's going to happen in a lot of places around the country is that there's going to be more pressure on the food banks and the volunteer food banks, and there's already a lot of pressure on them, and they've been complaining bitterly that, you know, they just can't fill the gap, you know, that results when government isn't doing enough to get people the food they need.
Bob, I had Fred Upton, a representative from our side of the state, in the studio yesterday, and I asked him about the SNAP program, and he surprisingly said that he feels there will be a farm bill before the end of the year, and that he didn't think there was going to be any additional cuts to food stamps. Have you heard about any big deal that would include protecting the SNAP program some military spending or something conservatives like to see? Have you heard anything to give credibility to what Fred said?
Well, that, I mean, that's an interesting comment for him to make as a leading Republican in the House. But, you know, what's going on is there is a conference between the House and the Senate Agriculture Committees. The people on the Agriculture Committees, you know, who care about agriculture are not particularly enthused about this idea of cutting food stamps. You know, and Senate Democrats, of course, are totally opposed to it. But even among House Republicans, people who have an interest in agriculture, the reason food stamps have always been in the Farm Bill is because it also helps producers of groceries.
Sure.
You know, it helps the farmers because there's more people buying their products. But there's a very substantial group of Republicans in the House, a lot of Tea Party Republicans, and Fred Upton is not one of those, who are adamant that they need to cut the food stamp program. And that's the reason it has taken almost 2 years to get to this point where they're even having a conference on a farm bill. If he's right, if they have a, you know, if they reach agreement on a farm bill, it would have to be, I think, you know, with most of the, you know, food stamp money preserved the way it is. And I would then think that Speaker Boehner would have trouble passing it with Republican votes.
So the end of the year is going to remain interesting as we watch Washington. There's going to be no end to the drama, huh?
No, that's one thing we have plenty of.
Okay, I appreciate the update. You have yourself a good weekend, and thanks for taking time to talk with us.
You too. Bye now.
Bob Fuss, CBS News correspondent for Capitol Hill. And yes, the cuts to the SNAP program were implemented last night at midnight in southwest Michigan, in the counties that make up the 6th district, something like $14 million in cuts to the SNAP program, including over $4 million just in Kalamazoo County. Next week, we're going to get Ann Lipsey to join us, and we'll find out if the food pantries of the area are prepared for all this new business. 590 WKZO. WKZO time is 419. Got 47 degrees on the outside. As early voting begins in Texas, the state's new strict voter ID law has so far flagged a judge, a gubernatorial candidate, Wendy Davis, and another state senator as illegitimate voters. Attorney General Greg Abbott, voter ID's most strident defender, was also flagged as a suspicious voter under his own law's strict criterion. Yeah, the Attorney General of the state was flagged as a suspicious voter in Texas. Abbott was flagged because his license lists his name as Gregory Wayne Abbott, while his voter registration simply records him as Greg Abbott. Longtime voters, particularly married women who've taken a spouse's name, are being stopped at the polls because the names on their driver's licenses differ from those on their voter registration. Thanks to an amendment added by Wendy Davis, voters who clearly have substantially similar names can still cast a regular ballot by signing an affidavit affirming their identity. If the law had gone through unmodified as Abbott originally supported, he would have found himself disenfranchised. Although Davis' amendment will allow many legitimate voters to vote in Texas, the process to determine substantial similarity and organize affidavit signing will inevitably clog up the Texas electoral process and cause unnecessary confusion. Come November 5th, Texas polling places may resemble Florida's back in 2012, when Republican election law changes created marathon lines and poll worker confusion. The law has been affected. It has affected countless ordinary Texans who do not attract as much attention as a judge or a gubernatorial candidate. People of color, low-income voters, seniors, and students are most likely to lack the ID and may not have their votes counted as a result. While Texas officials claim it's easy for these people to get a free voter ID, just 41 out of 1.4 million eligible Texas voters received one as of the middle of last month. One 84-year-old woman was denied the ID three times, despite having extensive proof of her identity. I find it ironic that the state attorney general who promoted this law ended up being disenfranchised by the law that he promoted. I don't think this is what the founding fathers had in mind when they started talking about voting. I don't think they had in mind the government coming up with regulations so onerous that even an attorney general in a state would find himself disenfranchised. 428, 47 degrees, hockey tonight. Hear it live on our sister station, 96.5 WZOX. At 6:30 tonight, WMU takes on Colorado College. They do the same thing at the same time tomorrow, 6:30 both nights. Hear Western Michigan University hockey live on 96.5 WZOX, our sister station. The WKZO.com AccuWeather forecast, mostly cloudy and cool this afternoon. Winds gradually subsiding. We'll see a shower or two in some spots. I think that's over with, but temperatures holding steady in the upper 40s, and we achieved that. Mostly cloudy and brisk and quite chilly tonight, and a few showers around and a low of 40. Mostly cloudy and chilly with some showers again tomorrow and a high of 47. Sunday, finally some sun. Well, partly sunny and chilly, and a high of 45 degrees. And the Big Lake forecast, a small craft advisory in effect through tomorrow, so limited fishing until we get to Sunday. By Sunday, predicting waves 1 foot or less. But right now, seas are running 4 to 5 feet, and that is too high a seas to go out in a small boat fishing. 590 WKZO time is 4:30. Coming up in the next half hour, one of my favorite people to talk to, Mark Phelan. We're going to find out just what he thought of the new Cadillac that he drove. We're actually interrupting his vacation. He's in New Orleans attending a music festival. And we may ask him about that, too. When Mark Phelan joins us following a CBS News update and a local news update following that. 590 WKZO time is 431, 47 degrees. Raj Taylor and Derek taking you home this afternoon. The WKZO.com AccuWeather forecast brought to you by Asthma Allergy Centers of Southwest Michigan. The office nearest you, find out where it is by going to asthmaallergycenters.com. Mostly cloudy and chilly this afternoon. Winds gradually subsiding, a shower or two in spots. Temperatures in the upper 40s, and that's where we are, 47 degrees in Kalamazoo. Joining us now from New Orleans, Nawlins, as they say there, is Mark Phelan. Mark, how are you doing this afternoon?
I could not be much better, Roger. How about yourself?
I'm good. Well, how is your vacation going?
So far, so good. It's 72 degrees and sunny here, which sounds a bit better than Michigan's got today.
Yes.
And I have been listening to music at a festival down at the city park all day. So I'm having a very good day, thank you.
What kind of music are you enjoying?
So far, it's pretty much all been rock. A couple of up-and-coming bands I was interested in. There's a little bit of folk later on, and the evening finishes up with Preservation Hall Jazz Band and Pearl Jam, which is about as odd a pairing as you're ever going to see, but they're playing back-to-back.
Hey, interesting. That's only New Orleans has music that diverse in one venue at one time.
Exactly.
Yeah. When I was young, my father took me to New Orleans every spring to develop music appreciation. And
wonderful.
That's certainly a good town to do it in. Well, let's interrupt your vacation just a moment and talk about the new Caddy you took a drive in.
Oh, it's the 2014 CTS, and it is remarkably good, I got to tell you. The Cadillac made it a little bit bigger and a lot more sophisticated so that it could step up one class in the luxury market. It's competing with cars like the BMW 5 Series and Mercedes E-Class now, and it's an absolute home run. They did everything right, I think.
What were you most impressed with in the new CTS?
Well, the interior was amazing to me. I mean, the one I had, a kind of a deep chocolate brown leather that was just glorious looking. I'd like to have a jacket that looks that good. and the wood trim had a very low level of varnish on it. So it was dark wood, but you could see and feel the grain in it. And so many times in automotive wood trim, they lacquer on so much varnish and plastic to protect it that you really can't tell that whether it's wood or not.
Yeah, but you think it's plastic.
Really, yeah, exactly. And this, there was no question it was wood. It was an interior that, I mean, I've driven cars that cost $150,000 that didn't have interiors this good.
Interesting. Let's talk about performance. Have they moved up in so they compete on an even footing with the other cars you mentioned?
They have, and they've done a couple of very interesting things for that. The car that I drove had the 321 horsepower V6, which is plenty of power and fully competitive with all the other V6s, plus with the other brand V6s. Plus, Cadillac has added an 8-speed automatic transmission, which helps performance and fuel economy, and it's very quick and smooth. It's a really good transmission. But there's a new engine this year for a new performance model they call the V-Sport, and it's a twin-turbo version of that same 3.6-liter V6, and it produces 410 horsepower, which is more than some of the V8s than some of the competitors have got.
Wow.
And it gets very good fuel economy as well. And that strikes me as the real surprise in the engine lineup.
Yeah.
I would not have expected them to be able to get that much power out of the V6.
Did you drive it to your brother's place in Tecumseh?
I did, in fact. Yes. And it's got their magnetic adjustable suspension, which means that it's comfortable over bumpy roads, but it does a very good job of firming up and holding you steady when you're driving some of the twisting farm country roads that I take when I'm going to Tecumseh.
Yeah, that's why I asked. So it handles like cars in its new class of competitors?
Absolutely. I think that it's fully competitive in terms of handling with any of the BMWs or Cadillacs that it competes with. BMWs or Mercedes, I mean.
Yeah. With an 8-speed transmission, were you constantly noticing the transmission doing something?
No, that was part of what I liked about it so much. First of all, it's very, very smooth, so you barely notice the shifts at all. But also, the programming is pretty clever, and it doesn't end up hunting back and forth between gears. Even when a couple of times when I was in sort of heavy traffic and I wasn't moving fast, it would stay in a gear rather than kind of bopping back and forth between first and second or second and third. So it was quite smooth and comfortable. And there's a manual mode that they've got. Frankly, I don't understand why people who buy an automatic transmission decide they want to shift it themselves, but some people do. And this one, it's very quick and responsive, and it works as well as any of the cars that have manual modes for their automatics.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got paddles attached to the steering wheel that you use to shift, and they're made out of magnesium instead of the plastic that most companies use. And it's another thing in the interior that feels and looks better than you expected it to.
Mm-hmm. That's some of what you need to justify the cost of a car in that category, is you need to have some finer touches.
Absolutely. There's a friend of mine, a consultant named Jim Paul here in the Detroit area. He says that luxury cars need to provide a sense of occasion. They have to do something that makes you feel special when you're inside them.
Yeah.
And things like those actual magnesium shifters are the way that you kind of achieve a sense of occasion.
Yeah, yeah. It has an authentic feel to it.
Exactly.
Do you check gas mileage on cars?
I do occasionally. Usually I just use the EPA figures because those are all tested in the lab, so it's not subject to what was my mood, what was traffic like, what was weather like.
Yeah.
It's a more consistent basis. So, and with this car, I just went with the EPA numbers, and they are pretty much in the middle of the pack of the luxury cars it competes with.
Okay.
But with the non-turbo engine that I tested, the 321 horsepower V6, it gets those fuel economy numbers on regular gas, whereas all of the competitors require premium.
Uh-huh.
So even though it's not the best in class, it's probably the least expensive to buy fuel for on an annual basis.
Yeah. Are you going to get a chance to drive their bi-turbo?
I will. There's going to be one waiting for me when I get back from vacation. And in fact, on my trip down to New Orleans, there's another Cadillac model, the XTS, which is their bigger sedan. And they just pushed that same twin turbo in it. And I actually drove one of those from Detroit down to New Orleans. And I can tell you, it's got a ton of power. I will be shocked if I don't love it in the CTS, because the CTS is such a sporty car to start with. And given it 410 horsepower, and I think it's 369 pound-feet of torque, that's definitely going to add to all of its virtues.
So let me see if I got this right. You went on vacation to New Orleans to hear a lot of good music, and you had to drive a brand new Cadillac on the trip.
Yeah, except for the part about the Cadillac having a really good Bose audio system and navigation that made the trip easy. You pretty much got it right. It's a good week.
What a rough life you have, Mark.
So I did something right in the previous life.
Must be, yes. Karma treated you well. So the next car you're testing is what?
The next one up is going to, the next review that I write actually is going to be of this XTS Cadillac with the twin turbo. That's going to be in next week's repress. 2 weeks out, I am not sure what the review that week is going to be. That's in my laptop, which is, you know, back safe in my hotel room.
Right.
I can't remember what the schedule is.
Sure. Well, it's a rough life you have. I really appreciate your taking time to talk with us while you're on vacation.
It's always a pleasure.
Enjoy yourself. And are you going to have a Jax while you're down there?
You know, now that you mention it, I just may do that.
Okay.
And I will raise it in Kalamazoo's direction for you.
Okay. I knew you. It wouldn't have occurred to you if I hadn't mentioned it. So.
No. I had forgotten that they even served alcoholic beverages in this town.
Yeah. Okay. Have a good one, Mark.
Thanks, Roger. You too.
Mark Phelan, Detroit Free Press auto critic, and... boy, I'd like to die and come back as the auto critic for the Detroit Free Press. Driving a brand new Cadillac bi-turbo on vacation and heading off to New Orleans. Rough life. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, 47 degrees in Kalamazoo. Not the balmy 72 he was experiencing in Nawlins. 4:49. We'll be back to wrap up the show after this. Roger and Derek are taking you home this afternoon, getting you ready for the weekend. The WKZO.com AccuWeather weekend forecast, mostly cloudy and chilly. Winds subsiding this afternoon, showers and spots, temperatures holding steady in the upper 40s. It's been 47 all afternoon long. Mostly cloudy, brisk, and fairly chilly tonight. Some showers, a low of 40. Mostly cloudy and chilly tomorrow. Showers around and a high of 47. Sunday, we'll see some peaks at the sun. That'll be good. And chilly, 45 the high, below freezing Sunday night. Again, we have 47 degrees in Kalamazoo. U of M football tomorrow on 1660 The Fan at 2:30. U of M plays at Michigan State. And the high school game of the week tonight on 1660 The Fan, Portage Central versus Lansing Everett at 6:45 this afternoon or this evening on our sister station, 1660 The Fan. A Republican congressman predicted that the GOP will be able to extract political concessions from Democrats when they try to delay elements of the Affordable Care Act. I find this ironic that we shut the government down to try to get the repeal of the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare Act. And now it seems Republicans are thinking they can get some concessions from Democrats. They're convinced that the president will come pleading to delay the Affordable Care Act. I just find it ironic that we shut the government down just a couple of weeks ago to keep Obamacare from going into effect, and now we think we can extract concessions. He says, don't be surprised in 30, 45, or 60 days. It's not the Republicans asking for the delay of Obamacare. It'll be Barack Obama And Representative Tom Cotton, the GOP nominee for the Senate in Arkansas, made these comments during an event for Benton County Republican women on October 26th, that they'll be able to extract concessions from Democrats when it's the Democrats who are pleading to delay Obamacare. We'll see. The president seemed to have drawn a fairly significant line in the sand, saying this was going to be fixed by the end of November. And we'll see what happens. We'll see if this prediction that the GOP will be able to extract concessions from Democrats for delaying the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare. That's going to do it for Derek and I. Hope you have a good weekend. Stay warm. And if you're attending a football game this evening, take a slicker with you.
This is Kalamazoo's news station and Kalamazoo's home for Detroit Tiger baseball. 590 WKZO Kalamazoo.